Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone. Tonight I was going to read something from a very favorite book that I've been using for maybe 4 years now. I came across it, someone introduced it to me, and it's a great book because it's helped me understand a little more about God and our relationship to Him. The article is entitled God the Rewarder, and is by Reverend Kratzer, K-R-A-T-Z-E-R. This article talks about, you know, pain and illnesses and so on, and a higher understanding of how we can deal with these things. I know that the general rule or the general understanding is, okay, I have pain, yes, I have pain, and therefore I take this and this and that to heal it. But it's that Christ Jesus came to show us another way, and I'm happy to share with you what I'm learning and hope that somehow it may impact your thinking too, and if you wish to, you can explore further. If anyone has any questions about what I read tonight, just email to florence@thinkerschallenge.com. The show is about simply sharing insights in how we are connected to God in a higher level, much, much closer than, at least in the beginning, my thinking. And through this, I'm really seeing the mercy, the love of God always here to help us through every situation. Okay, let me start this. All right, as I said, the article is called God the Rewarder. And it goes like this. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we read, "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." This verse, rightly understood and applied, furnishes us with directions for overcoming our physical ills, as well as all other forms of evil and limitation. To make this evident, let us spend a moment in analyzing certain of the claims of error. And I'll pause here for a second. When we say error in Christian Science, we're talking about any kind of discord, relationships, relationship troubles, I should say, the sense of lack, of course, illness, any form of discord we refer to as error. Okay, now I'm continuing. Contrary to the usually accepted belief, the body, as such, is incapable of experiencing either pain or pleasure. If it were a corpse would experience pain or pleasure. It is only when consciousness is connected with the body that pain or pleasure can be experienced. This shows that, in reality, it is the consciousness that aches or burns or smarts or feels weak. The word disease means dis-ease, and it is consciousness that is dis-easy, if there is any disease, and not the body. When there is dis-ease, the body is often correspondingly abnormal through swellings, false growths, sores, or wastings, and the discomfort seems to be located in or at these abnormal portions of the body. Consequently, it has usually been inferred that the abnormal condition of the body causes the discomfort of the mind. But exactly the reverse is true, as can be proven in two ways. If consciousness becomes disassociated from the body through death, the swellings, false growths, sores, or wastings may remain on the body, but they no longer occasion discomfort in any way, either to the body or to the mind, showing that flesh, as such, is incapable of sensation. Neither will abnormal conditions, except the general condition of decay, develop in the body when consciousness is not associated with it. This shows that discord is not first in the body and afterwards in consciousness, but is first in consciousness and then is manifest on the body as a result. To be sure, it must be admitted that a swelling or sore often develops to quite an extent on the body before the active mind discovers its appearance there or notices pain from it. And this fact has caused the vast majority of mankind to believe that disease originates in the body and afterwards begins to disturb the mind. But the fact is that the human mind, which is the mind that we must deal with when we are analyzing the claim of error, has a subconscious face through which the body is mostly governed, unless God's government is being scientifically demonstrated. Disease usually begins in the subconscious face of the human mind and then begins to be manifest on or in the body, and then last of all begins to disturb the conscious mind. In the analysis of error, falsehood, or unreality, it is the so-called subconscious mind, of whose operations little has been known until lately, that is the chief channel, the seat of disease and sin, so far as the mortal individual is concerned. In the absence of control by divine mind, the conscious and subconscious mortal mind act and react upon each other and educate each other in sin and disease, using the body as a go-between, a mere football, as it were, to be kicked back and forth between conscious and subconsciousness arguments of evil. But the subconscious mind is the original sinner, and unless prevented from doing so by the Christ mind, it recurrently and often continually throws up into the conscious mind all manner of sinful and painful feelings, and the conscious mind thinks that the body is the source or cause of the sinful or painful feelings, instead of discerning the deeper source of evil in the mortal subconsciousness. It is this mortal subconsciousness that must be cleansed by the application of divine mind in order to rid both the conscious mind and the body of evil and discord. The method of doing this will be spoken of a bit later. Now, the second proof that abnormalities in the body are not the cause of discomfort in consciousness is the fact that the pain or the other discomfort in the mind is often completely removed hours and sometimes weeks before the swellings or false growth, which at one time seemed painful, have disappeared from the body. If these abnormalities of the body were cause of mental distress could not appear until the physical abnormalities had been overcome. Almost invariably, the removal of discomfort from the mind through Christian Science treatment is followed, sooner or later, by normal conditions of the body. It has now been clearly shown that all disease originates mentally and is located in consciousness, and that abnormalities of the body are not, strictly speaking, disease because they are not dis-ease, but are mere manifestations of effects of disease, never its cause. Hence, it is very evident that the proper effort to cure disease must center its activities on removing evil from the consciousness. And if it be removed from the consciousness, it will disappear from the body automatically. That which is to be treated in the mind and not the body. It must be entirely evident on statement that a diseased or diseasy mind is an evil mind, and that the way to overcome an evil mind is to attack it with that which is opposed to it, namely good mind. Mind with a capital mind being God. Now there is only one good mind. Christ Jesus declared, "There is none good save one, that is God." If we intelligently and persistently tend to this good mind, God, that mind will remove evil from our consciousness as naturally as the sun removes darkness from our eyes when we turn from darkness toward the sun. Whoever beholds the light of the sun beholds coincidentally rays of violet, indigo, blue, green, yellow, orange, red, and every intermediary shade and tint of color, all beautifully blended together in what we call light. Likewise, whoever diligently turns to God and mentally beholds Him cannot fail to increasingly behold and to gradually receive into his own consciousness love, joy, peace, strength, harmony, health, substance, plenty, entertainment, intelligence, and life, all beautifully blended together in that true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. For God omnipresent, not beyond the reach of any man's mental gaze, Yea, he is in every man's heart when that man will diligently open his heart to God. So if we turn to God, knowing that he is here, and if we diligently seek him, he will reward us by shining in our hearts and minds with every conceivable form of good. And in proportion as this comes to pass, in that proportion the darkness of sin and disease are driven from every phase of the human consciousness, and we are healed or made whole in consciousness. Just where we need to be healed, when the body soon automatically reflects the divine harmony, which through the power of God has been established in mind. Accordingly, in the treatment of disease, the advice of St. Paul is most excellent. Be willing, in other words, be choosing, to be absent from the body in thought and present with the Lord. For God is the healer, and he will reward us with healing if we come to him with diligence. Yes, so today I just wanted to share that, and I think I will make just a few comments. I was a medical nurse for a long, 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 long time. I mean, since I was 17 years of age, and so I went through everything that it's pertinent to that career, studying anatomy, physiology, and then later on, of course, pharmacology, how medicines help, and so on and so forth. But I can't but share what I'm learning now, because I've seen what the Spirit does, how it is a preventative as well as curative way, freely giving. Christ Jesus proved it to help all mankind. Yes, at this time, the whatever else is used is necessary, because until consciousness rises to where it can comprehend what Christ Jesus came to show mankind, of course, you cannot use what you don't understand. But I can't but share what I've seen, because I've seen it in the last probably 10 years or so. Somehow I changed course into this line of healing, or helping people see themselves correctly as God is seeing them. And I have seen everything possible healed through radical reliance on God's goodness, God's power, the Spirit's presence. And I know that this is a way most people are headed, whether they know it or not, because there is dissatisfaction, of course, with the usual way of things. Why? Because many people use so many medications and still don't get any better. In fact, rather suffer from the side effects of all the things that are recommended as being the cure for this and that. So the way everyone is searching, it seems to me, people are going so many different ways. People are using yoga, some are using this, some are using that. But it is true, I trust, I believe, I understand now that how Christ Jesus healed sickness has to be the eventual way that we're all seeking for, to understand it better. Because it doesn't make sense that God created illness for us to make us suffer. It just doesn't make sense. A good God couldn't do that. God is only good. He cannot be good and bad. When I started to read Christian Science, it just makes sense. It's logical. It just makes sense. Simply put, it just makes sense. Because a good God could not create good, you know, harmony and all this, and then also create goodness. Now, if he did not create it, then it's got to be something else that gets us into it, or something else that prevents us from being able to overcome them. So anyway, I hope that a few things that were in the article, you know, this connection of the consciousness and illness and the general belief that, oh, it starts from the body, that the body, I guess, is intelligent enough to produce such and such and such and such. It's not easy to grasp. It took me a long time to understand it, but it just makes too much sense once understood. From the premise that God good could not possibly make his children suffer as well. And I feel that what Christ Jesus came to teach, enlightened through what Mrs. Eddie, the woman I talk about often, what her revelation has been and how she healed everything as Christ Jesus did, with that understanding alone, based on what Christ Jesus taught in the Bible. And others are doing so, you know, in many, many different ways, by relying strictly on God, the only real healer. When healing takes place in that way, as Jesus did, you are healed not just the physical, but morally as well. The consciousness is raised higher. You become more aware of your connectedness with the wholesome good, which involves no sickness at all. And, you know, in the beginning, again, it was like, oh, how is that possible? Why? Because I was so steeped in whatever education I have had and couldn't believe. I mean, how can you say that? Of course it's the body that does this. Of course it's the body. No, I see it clearly now. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. If we are his likeness, if we are his image and likeness, as the Bible says, then we can also accept that we are spiritual more than mortals with this flesh and, you know, whatever else we think we are. It can't be. Nobody has seen God, no. And obviously he's not a person, because otherwise he couldn't be everywhere. So then if we accept that he is spirit, and we are spiritual, that's the only way it makes sense to me. Spirit couldn't have a headache, couldn't have all these growths, all these things that the claims that we see advertised on the news and are constantly bombarded with them everywhere. Diseases, poverty, sickness, I mean, all the dark things. The light of truth is shining through all of this. And I know that as we all desiring to go higher and higher in our understanding of what God is, and to see ourselves as he is seeing us, we will come into the understanding. The prediction is in the Bible. From the least of them to the greatest, everyone will know, and every knee shall bow to the Almighty. The God that is constantly with all of us, in our hearts, in fact. But we got to give way for it to shine in our experiences as well. I know that we've all had a good time over the holidays. I hope that you did spend some time thinking about the Christ that we were reminded of. That period, really, you know, it's a time to think again about what we've been given, what Christ Jesus left for us, the Christ in every heart. And it is the Christ that leads us to the truth. When, you know, for example, when you're sick or something, the Christ within comforts. The Christ within, you know, fades away or through its truth in your heart, fades away the lies about, oh, you're sick, you're not going to get better, or, you know, all the depressing thoughts that come along with it. Again, if I've said anything tonight that you don't understand or you would like more information, just please write to Florence@thinkerschallenge.com. If you want a copy of the article, you can do the same. And I wish you a happy year, a happy, prosperous, peaceful, healthy, all the good, with absolute harmony. So with that, I will say we're signing off now, and we'll see you again next week. We will make sure that our programs, we have our topics listed, and if anyone wants to have it in advance, they can just go to the website and it will be there. It's blogtalkradio.com/thinkerschallenge. And we hope to meet you again here next week. And for now, I will say goodbye and have a great week. Bye for now.